for 987011. It's Video Games Hot Dog. Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
Hey, and I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're here to bring you another Video Games Hot Dog, issue number 20.
Oh, yeah?
That's a lot of issues. We got some issues.
Baggage number 20. We got a whole, like, half a year or something.
What?
Yeah, there's 40 weeks in a year, right? Yeah. We do one podcast a week, 1 week per podcast, one extension cord plugged into the moon.
Aren't we doing a second podcast this week, effectively?
Are we?
Yeah, didn't you just release the other one yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
And so this one's pre-released.
Because we were at Dragon Con. We did something. We did something non-video game related that's interesting, theoretically. We went to Dragon Con.
Isn't that video game related?
No. Well.
Not really.
We talked about video games, I guess.
We were there under the pretense of video games, but there were lots
like
of other non-video game things going on.
Anywhere that Lord British heavily factors into it.
Yeah, but he was there for space. Related. He was there on the space track.
Space.
The Star Trek that they refer to.
Space.
He's there for the Final Frontier. He was drinking Cosmos like a cosmonaut.
Yeah.
Oh, we hung out with Lord British. That was cool. That was pretty video gamey.
Yeah.
We also played some board games.
Yeah, we did.
Some Lord games.
We played one that really is stuck in my head is Cargo Noir.
Yeah, Cargo Noir is pretty good Lord game.
I had never heard of this. What sort of game is this?
You bid things. You put boats on coins.
So
get some
bidding
weapons.
It's asynchronous bidding. It's interesting.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
it's like you bid on demons, and you don't know how much the other demons are worth to the other guys who are trying to trade pudding for demons. Was there pudding in the game that you described? I don't remember if there was.
No.
I was listening to it. I was listening to that podcast yesterday while I was mowing the lawn, so that I could make the list of games that we talked about, so that I could upload it. And I thought you said something about pudding. Maybe I was just thinking about pudding while
pudding.
I was mowing the lawn. Because what I like to do is, so there's a bag for collecting the grass clippings on the back of the mower, but it never works. It doesn't really fill up with...
Is that where you keep your pudding?
Fill up with grass, yeah. So I've just been keeping my pudding there.
Oh, okay.
You know, it keeps it warm.
Yeah.
It's important that your pudding be warm.
You want that nice, you know, fresh mowed lawn flavor to your pudding.
Yeah. Feed that to the lawnmower man, not the space lawnmower man with Pierce Brosnan, but the real lawnmower man by Stephen King.
Pierce Brosnan?
Wasn't Pierce Brosnan in The Lawnmower Man?
Was
he? I don't think he was like Dr. Science or something. He was
Professor
Computer. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Pierce Brosnan who was the main character in The Lawnmower Man. I'm almost sure of that. Yeah. You're going to look it up? We tried to go see Conan the Barbarian yesterday, but ended up seeing Our Idiot Brother instead. Maybe that was 2 days ago.
Wow.
Which was
Pierce
the day that
Brosnan
I yelled at
totally
your girlfriend
was in
for
the
no reason?
Man. Oh, my gosh.
Because that was the day I saw the movie.
Dr. Lawrence Angelo.
Dr. Science Computerist.
Yeah. I did not remember that, for what it's worth.
He was the main guy. He had the tank that you would sit in, it filled up with pudding so that you wouldn't notice that you were floating in virtual space.
Oh, is it that heavily oxygenated pudding that you just let fill your lungs
you
so that you can breathe?
Just breathe in the pudding. We tested it on a mouse. What could go wrong? We played Cargo Noir. We played Revolution, which is another bidding game that was terrible.
It was not terrible.
Josh just stomped us. So that was a board game.
Wait. Kevin was playing a board game and he didn't win.
Oh, yeah. I didn't win most of the games
got
I played.
Got stomped. Wow. We got our asses. I beat him at Cargo Noir. Maybe that's why he liked it, because it's challenging to him. My militia took care of everything. Brings all the boys to the yard. Brings all the boats to the coins.
Yeah, we didn't read all the rules in Cargo Noir, so briefly I was the winner, and then we were like, I guess not.
You missed the rule that says Kevin wins.
Yeah, at the end, Zach wins.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. We spent 2 hours learning how to play the Game of Thrones board game and then an hour and a half playing the Game of Thrones board game.
Which was actually pretty fun.
Yeah, I'd like to play it again now knowing how to play it. We went to check it out and the guy was like, you'll be back.
You'll be back in 10 minutes. Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he was like, everybody checks this out and then they read the rules and they come back in 10 minutes and turn it back in. And I was like, fuck you, buddy.
There's no way they could have read the rules in 10 minutes because it was like 20 dense pages of rules.
That was what happened the one time I went to PAX and we spent all the time in the board game room and we checked out Descent and opened it and unpacked the millions of cards and counters and plastic figurines and tried to read the rules novel. And
Was it actually a novel, like the Manual of Might and
Magic
3?
I sort of took one for the team. I read the rule book, and then everybody else just played a different game. They played a game of Cthulhu Flux.
Yeah, we played Cthulhu Gloom, not Flux. Okay, here's how you can tell it wasn't Flux, because I played it.
And also because the cards were transparent.
The cards were transparent, yeah.
So listening to that H.P. Lovecraft literary podcast and learning a bunch about H.P. Lovecraft and different H.P. Lovecraft stories made it so I got most of the jokes in the H.P. Lovecraft in the Cthulhu Gloom. Like the cat named Tigger Man. I was like, hey, I know what that's about. good old H.P. Lovecraft.
Good old H.P. Lovecraft.
We saw people playing Dominant Species, and it looks mystifying and awesome.
It's like Settlers of Catan, except there's also shit on the interstices between the hexes, and then sometimes some of them turn into snow, and then sometimes you have cones and tubes and cubes.
It was baffling. So there's like a one side of the board is just like a procedure track of like what you're doing, and it was like 20 steps long.
One guy was spiders.
Yeah. Arachnids.
One guy was birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like it might be fun.
I think it looks really neat. You have a bunch of cubes, and you have a couple of cone pieces, and you have some cylinders, and then you think the cylinders mark what you're going to do on the action track, and then the cubes are like your dudes or something, and then I think the cones might be sort of dominance over a particular region.
My problem with board games is that I really enjoy reading board game rules, and I love the tactile qualities of a board game, but I so rarely have the patience to actually play one.
Huh.
We played Mansions of Madness.
Yep.
You had the patience for that.
That one's kind of fun because there's not a lot of setup. You just sort of setting up the board is part of the game.
For the DM, sort of.
Oh, Mansions of Madness, not Betrayal at House.
Yeah, Betrayal at House on the Hill. There isn't a lot of setup, right? Yeah. Because you're making the board as you play, but. Yeah, I don't know. So we played a lot of board games in the basement with the other nerds.
It was fun.
It was fun. We gave some talks. Not really. We did some Q&A about people who were trying to figure out how to get into the games industry. I did a Q&A panel about being in the indie games industry with somebody from Zynga and somebody that used to work for somebody else.
Did you have a knife fight at the end?
No. The gal from Zynga was nice.
Okay.
She was dressed as Girl Genius.
Yeah. She had a different, costume on different days.
Did she look like her head was made out of a wax cantaloupe? Or something?
No.
No, is that what Girl Genius looks like?
Girl Genius. I can't read Girl Genius because the way the art looks.
Because you think that her head looks like a wax cantaloupe?
Everyone looks like they're built out of wax cantaloupes.
Next time we're at Comic-Con, you should go over and punch Phil Foglio square in the face.
See, I couldn't do that, though, because I loved his...
His head kind of looks like a wax cantaloupe.
I loved his comics that he did for the back of Dragon Magazine all those years.
I read about that today, and I also read about his apparently aliens fucking comic book that he made, this extremely sexually explicit comic called XXX Xenophile, Xenophile, but with three X's. What you doing there, Kevin?
I'm adjusting my seating because these chairs are for shit.
Yeah, they really are. We had a five-man podcast for the Kingdom of Loathing podcast, and so some of us had to sit on uncomfortable chairs. But now we're back where we belong.
Oh, my butt. It just squeaky. Feels so much better.
It sure does.
Good job, guys. Anyway, what else is going on? What'd you do? What'd you do other than video games while we were gone?
I've just been reading a bunch of Game of Thrones.
Still Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I'm on book four now.
Yeah. Are the Lannisters, is dude bro Lannister up to more troubles?
He's been getting in some troubles. I don't really want to say because I don't want to spoil it.
Was there ever conflict in the neck?
There may have been, yes.
Okay.
The
guys from the north.
I can't think of any. The wildlings causing problems.
Yes, the wildlings everything are I know, all sorts of problems.
Everything I know about Game of Thrones, I know from playing one game of this board game. So there were some characters. Did a lady stab someone?
Yeah, at least once, I think.
Did a man do something that made some boats not work?
Yeah, were there several raids? Were there raids that destroyed other raids?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that that can be said to be true.
Okay.
You put down some orders. Were people ordering armies around? And was there a man with like a bag on a string on his neck?
Yes, that is actually a real thing.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a so
that,
this
that the bag board game, contains his fingers.
The board game is actually from like
1903.
Yeah, it predates the novel.
Oh, so that's where we got the idea.
Yeah, the novel's based on the board game.
Yeah.
Good old Westeros. What did we do other than Dragon Con? Or we got yelled at by a hotel for trying to give away beer.
Yeah.
They're like, you can't give this away. We want to sell it. Will you sell
Except
it for
it
us?
It wasn't
no,
beer.
It was not for sale.
It was pretty hardcore punch.
Yeah.
1-2 punch.
Yeah. So then we just had nobody at our party. Because nobody actually wanted to come to our party. They just wanted the free booze.
Oh.
I didn't want to go to our party after there was no free booze.
You stood at the information desk?
I did. I sat at the information desk for like 2 or 3 hours, and people kept coming up and asking me questions.
And they just learned about the hotel. They just learned where stuff was, and so somebody would come up and be like, where is such and such? And they would just tell them. They just volunteered at the information desk for a while.
Hmm.
That was good.
There were chairs there, so we got to sit. Today I booked hotel rooms for next year's
Dragon Con. Dragon Con was fun. We talked to some dudes. We saw Lou Ferrigno crying into a rack of ribs.
Yeah.
It was his own ribs, so it's okay. Lou Ferrigno actually had several of his ribs removed to make it easier for him to suck his own dick. Also,
and to cry
Lou Ferrigno was Paul on the Wonder Years.
There were amazing costumes this year. Like people, I don't know if people just went especially all out or if
sexy R2-D2.
I don't understand.
Regular R2-D2. There was like R2-D2 club. There was like an R2-D2 club meeting.
There was,
that
yeah.
Roy went to, and it was like, oh, the people sharing their secrets about how they made R2-D2s all the same.
That's pretty sweet.
Yep.
There was the entire cast of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Just cosplay. So there was somebody cosplaying Cherry and somebody walking around with that pterodactyl and Jambi. Only Jambi was like 4 feet taller than the table that he was sitting on. So it was like,
yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah. I never realized until I was listening on some podcast to them talking about like Pee-wee Herman taking his show from like the sort of like raunchy beginnings to a children's thing that
I remember Jambi
was like Jambi was just like sort of hyper exaggerated gay stereotype.
I remember seeing like an original version of it on like HBO or something.
He was just a dude. Weird. Yeah, there was nudity and stuff. Mm. I guess.
Huh. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was like in the Groundlings. Like Pee-wee Herman was just one of the characters that he developed, and then I feel like he got pigeonholed and he got mad, so then he jerked off in a theater.
I don't know that that's why he would get jerked off.
He didn't get jerked off. He got thrown in the brink. He got thrown in the brink. I don't think that's a drink.
Do they just arrest everyone who goes into an Davy Jones adult locker? Theater? Like what? How does that work?
I would think people would stop going. Every famous person. The police saw him jerking off in the flash of a paparazzi's bulb.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah, it was the paparazzi.
How did he get in there?
Bulb. No, they threw him. What was it? In the clink? In the brig.
Okay.
It was going to be in the combination brig.
Yes.
I'm in the brig. I'm in the clink.
I'm in the
combination brig and clink, which I call the brink. guys, have you been playing any brink lately? Which one do they have on a boat? The brig.
The brig.
The brig.
The Huskow. They have the Huskow on the boat. That's on an airship. That's what they call it on an airship, is the Huskow.
Is it?
Yeah, the big house.
I thought that was just a general.
The high house. The
hot house?
The calaboose, which I learned because that's Calabozo is what my dad thought was the Spanish word for jail, but apparently translates more into something like dungeon. And so when he was trying to explain to some Mexican woman when he was a probation officer where her son was, and he said, okay, El Calabozo, she kind of freaked out. And then he had later learned the word for jail so that he would stop making people pass out with fear that their son was chained to a wall and slowly turning into a skeleton. Because that's what happens in the calaboose. And then later, there was like a hobo. And I was like, hey, man, how you been? And he was like, not so good. I was in the calaboose. And I'm like, you mean like the back car of a train, right? And he was like, no. That's like when you take a caboose to Alabama and then you get arrested because it's illegal to ride the rails in Alabama and also everywhere, but mostly Alabama. So they throw you in the calaboose.
This is a very puzzling story.
Yeah, sorry. went off the rails a little bit as it got onto the rails. Yeah, that's enough of that. What have you guys been playing?
I played a couple of iPad games.
Like what?
I played one called Crimson Steam Pirates, which is published by Bungie Aerospace.
What?
Which I guess is their new small games division, maybe. It's pretty cool. It's a turn-based tactical pirate naval battle game. So you've got your little ships, and they have like a ghost outline that you drag around to indicate where that ship is going to travel to over the next turn, and it's constrained automatically based on the speed of your boat and the arc in which that it's able to turn.
And the wind conditions.
Is there wind?
Yeah. I have not encountered actual wind yet. Although I had noticed that some turns I was able to not travel as far as I had previous turns, and I don't know if that was because of damage or it might have been wind.
Your ship might be tired.
Yeah. But yeah, so you drag the little ghosts around of where you want your ships to go, and you hit go, and they move, and the enemies move, and cannons fire, and it's pretty cool.
You don't have to aim manually or anything?
No, the cannons go automatically.
There's that like airplane flash game that was like that turn-based.
Yeah, what was that called? Skybirds.
Maybe?
Fireflights.
No, Skybirds might be right.
No, I don't think it was called Skybirds.
That was actually pretty fun. I didn't really get into it, but
it was fun for, like, I played a couple levels of it, and then I got kind of bored. I wish I could remember what it was called.
Yeah.
The other thing I played was Samurai Blood Show, which is, it is basically Plants vs. Zombies, except instead of plants, you've got, like, ancient samurai warriors, and instead of zombies, your opponents are also ancient samurai warriors. But it's all done in like really beautiful, like Edo period Japanese scroll style art, and it's
and
got
instead of a tower defense game, it is a breakfast cereal.
Well, it's got a
it's a recipe for a breakfast cereal. You read it from right to left.
It's got a deck building component, so where instead of
like they're trying to attack your deck.
Well, you
so it's, you're still in your house.
Yeah,
and you coat your redwood planks with blood. And that's the show.
What? Oh, right. Samurai Blood Show. Okay. So, you're limited to like a 20-card deck that you build out of cards that you've earned by playing earlier fights. And it also has a multiplayer component, which is interesting, because then you've got your opponent at the other end of the field, and when you play a guy, you can either have him stay there as a defender or send him out across the map where so that he becomes the zombies to your opponent's plants. So it's kind of cool.
What was that game that was the, I don't know if it was a flash game that everybody was into for a month or two, that was a deck building game, but it was like really, really slow to acquire new cards.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Elemental
something. Yeah.
Elementarium or something. Yeah. That was that like felt like really promising, but the pace of acquisition of new cards was
really slow.
Brutally
slow.
Yeah, you
had to play just hundreds of games.
Yeah. I have not played enough of Samurai Blood Show yet to determine how quickly you get new cards, but I did notice that the real money shop offered a bunch of cards, including rare cards and powerful cards. And
that Elementals game had no microtransaction store.
I think it did. I think it had a way to.
When I looked at it, I didn't think that it did. Like, they might have added one later, but when I was like, wow, this goes really slow, I bet you can buy progress in this, then it's like, nope.
I thought that was the whole idea behind it, but maybe I'm just making that
maybe
up.
It came
maybe I was angry.
I didn't find the actual gameplay of that to be particularly interesting either.
It got kind of repetitive.
You were just using the same combo over and over again, you know, like
that depended on what you were doing.
Sure, but I mean you couldn't really change colors of deck because it would take so fucking long to get new cards.
You could choose a deck that was a bunch of different things, and you had to be really reactive based on what you drew. That was more interesting, but the games also lasted longer and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. Well, yeah.
So that's what I played.
That's it?
Yep.
Those two iPad games?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. What about you, Kevin?
I mostly played games on my phone because I was traveling. Still chugging through Tower Defense Lost Earth. Still enjoying it, but the last like handful of levels, last 10, 12 levels, are like that. The difficulty curve has gotten extremely, extremely steep. Like I got through most of the game. Sometimes it would be tricky, but I would get a victory on hard with no lost lives at all. And then like about 12 levels before the end, I'm having a hard time winning them on easy. So yeah, it's just nuts. There was an update to Train Yard.
I saw that. I haven't looked at it
since. And so there's a handful of new levels on that, and some of them are really, really hard. I've also forgotten like how to play. Like there's all sort of tricks that you use that I'm having to relearn. Train Yard is a great sort of logic puzzle game that's like pretty fun. And very much you can like sort of get into it and then put it down, and it's not a big deal.
That game stopped being fun for me once it got really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love logic puzzles, so I can just sit there and play them for hours.
I don't like the idea that the thing that started bothering me about Train Yard was that you would figure out a way to build a system that got you almost what you wanted. And then instead of making a small change to get it to the actual solution, you had to just fucking start over because doing it the way that you did it made it impossible to actually fix your arrangement because the solution started requiring every available space.
Yeah.
And like that just wasn't, that's not fun to me. Like incremental progress towards a goal is fun. Getting 90% of the way there and then realizing that you have to start over not fun because I don't know, for me at least, it's like I can't really keep it in my head. It's like, well, okay, I hope I don't make the same mistake.
It's a grid of 7x7. It's not that big.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. There's a lot that can go on, right? Like, because you've got two things that you place in each grid square, and you choose which one of them is on top, right? So there's it's like 49 times 3 decisions to make. And you're having to like play a lot of complicated things out in time.
Sure.
Different, you know, the same trains will use the same piece of track multiple times and stuff. Yeah. Like it's a complicated game.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely. I end up doing it iteratively. I'll like lay something down, see what happens, and then change it, and then try it again. They have a bunch of. You can also create levels and publish them. And there's a bunch of player created levels.
Like dicks and balls.
Yes.
Cool.
And they also added a bunch of achievements, which they didn't have.
Dicks and balls that just a bunch of white trains shoot out the end.
Yeah.
Good. I've also played a bunch more of that Lost Earth Tower Defense.
You said you beat the last level finally.
I didn't. I got to the last level. I beat the next to last level.
Oh.
I just got to the this one this is the only level I've encountered so far in the campaign that has any maze building elements to it. And it's very simple. Maze building elements. They go into a spot that's maybe like 3x7. That there are two entry points and two exit points, and so the configuration of mazes that you can make is extremely limited.
If you go to the challenge levels, there's like from very early in the game, there's some maze building stuff.
That's cool.
Like I feel like it's got every genre of tower building built into this.
Kind of tower defense,
which is that's kind of awesome.
You know what else I've been playing a lot of? Fucking Might and Magic 3.
Yeah? You kept playing it?
Yeah, I kept playing it.
Awesome.
It's pretty good. I started looking at the, I started looking at this, like, item guide to figure out, and again, it is very simple. It is surprisingly simple how few things there are that modify the items in that game. There's a list of maybe, like, I don't know, 40 adjectives that it can place in front of it, and, there's what it does.
Huh.
I think it's awesome. You burn down some houses and get a bunch of experience. You kill rats and you kill bubble mans and you...
Rat mice?
Mm-hmm. Moose rats.
Moose rats.
You kill eventually some bugs and stuff, and then you go into a cave full of spiders, and then you ring a gong and a bunch more spiders appear. Gong has a spider on it, so you really should have seen that coming.
That... Is that... there is a place in World of Warcraft where you ring a gong and are attacked by a bunch of spiders. That. Is that like an homage to that?
I don't know.
Huh.
I have no idea. I mean, there's that thing in history where people rang gongs and then were attacked by a bunch of giant spiders.
Well, that's because the other side of the gong was like a bunch of nesting spiders.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with it.
They were just trying to get that asshole off the stage with his dumb jokes.
Yeah.
What else? I've just... Same thing, iPhone games. I played a little bit of almost all of the Nintendo games on the 3DS for the Ambassador Program, and I'll talk about how angry I am at Metroid in a little while.
I did actually, now that you come to mention it, I played a little bit of Zelda 2 and just got crushed.
I played a little bit of Zelda 2 also, and I got most of the way through the first dungeon before I lost interest.
Yeah, it was about what happened to me.
Yeah.
I want so bad to like these old retro games that were like the bread and butter of my childhood.
You don't even like bread and butter anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
You should go...
I eat mostly radishes these days.
Our house guest is making some peanut butter and jelly manicotti with candy corn, if the groceries on the counter are any indication.
We should play one of these weeks. We should play Super Metroid, because that was the really good one.
I would really like to play Super Metroid on... a portable system.
I don't
want to play it on
Super Metroid.
Emulator because the shoulder buttons, I can never play a game on a Super Nintendo emulator where the shoulder buttons are important. Like, I don't even really like playing things that require the use of all four buttons because
I've got it on the Wii and I've got one of the classic controllers that has some shoulder buttons.
Can I take your Wii in while I'm pooping?
Wait, so you can't use like a PlayStation controller?
Oh, that's a good point. I guess I could play it on an emulator with a gamepad.
Because I mean, that wouldn't.
Yeah.
I was.
But then I'll be breaking the law, guys.
If you own the cartridge, I don't think it's breaking the law.
Played some. I was real drunk one night at Dragon Con and played some Yoshi. That was fucking boring.
Yeah. Played that for about 30 seconds.
Yep.
I think I've beaten Super Metroid within the past like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because
I've never been there. I always get stuck at Noob Bridge. There's something that you have to run across. And apparently all you have to do is run across it. But everybody who's like me is dumb and gets stuck there. And then is like, how do I get across this? And everybody's like, just run, you noob. They call that Noob Bridge because it traps noobs. I played... What else was there in that bundle of NES games? Balloon Fight? I played some Balloon Fight. Which is just like, kind of like... Shitty Joust. I mean, that name must have already been trademarked.
Yeah.
So they couldn't call it Shitty Joust. They had to call it Balloon Fight.
I think they trademarked every combination of word with joust.
Yeah.
Just in case they wanted to have a sequel.
Yeah.
The Elder Scrolls.
Abacus Joust. Aardvark Joust.
Yeah.
All those words that start with
Did you just put abacus before aardvark in the dictionary?
Yes, I did. They didn't do them in order. They did them in the order that I thought of them. I was also their trademark lawyer. Is there such thing as a trademark lawyer?
Sure.
Okay. Balloon Fight was weird, though, in that it had that trip mode, which was a right-to-left scrolling game, which you don't see much of.
I mean, unless you're sitting on your head when you play normal scrollers.
Right, those right-to-left scrolling games where you're stuck to the ceiling all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, like if you're playing it in space.
I wonder if the Japanese prefer right-to-left scrollers.
Certainly not. I mean, I don't think they just reverse. I mean, I don't know. Was Super Mario Brothers popular in Japan?
Well, maybe they played it the other direction there, and we just don't know.
Maybe everybody else, the way that they played Metroid in Japan is that they beat the game, and then they went back and got ball, and that was the ending.
Wouldn't it be funny? Put all the missiles back.
If Japanese was just English, but it's just backwards and no one noticed.
Oh, no one saw?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be funny so much as racist and insulting, Kevin.
No, I think it'd be pretty hilarious, actually, that nobody noticed.
Speaking Swedish. That's what they say.
Oh, I see.
Films. What else was in that thing? Wrecking Crew? Wrecking Crew was one of my favorite Nintendo games when I was a kid. It seemed like there was such a depth of secret stuff to find. I think it was just random, though. I think,
haven't looked at it. What sort of game is it?
Oh, it's a... You're Mario, and there's like...
But on a construction crew?
Yeah, it's like a 2D thing. There's like girders, ladders. You walk up a ladder, and your goal to beat the level, you have to like destroy everything that's in the level, including like the ladders and stuff in some levels. So it's like figuring out how to traverse this thing, like you hit walls, like hitting things with a hammer that you walk in front of something and your button hits it with a hammer. And so there are walls that you have to hit multiple times. There are bombs that will go off and hit everything on their level. And sometimes they'll hit another bomb and do a chain reaction. So if you have like, there's walls that take like three hits and sometimes they'll be like bomb, wall, wall, bomb. And if you hit one of the bombs, it'll start a chain reaction that destroys all the walls.
Okay.
If you are near a bomb when it goes off, you get knocked back down to the bottom of the screen, which sometimes is tactically useful to get away from the monsters because you can't jump. If you stay on a level for too long, a fireball appears and starts chasing you around. Every once in a while when you break a wall, there's some shit hidden behind it that's like just a little bonus points thing, but you start thinking it's important and you get like it gets in your head and you're like, I want to know how to get the fucking cat. Like, how do I get that cat? I saw a cat, but I didn't get to it before it disappeared. How many points is that cat worth? How do I find the cat? How do I find the cat? And you don't sleep. And your cousin eats a hamburger with a Thousand Island on it and farts a lot. That's what I think of when I think about Wrecking Crew. I spent the night at my cousin's house, and we stayed up all night playing Jackal and Wrecking Crew. And he kept farting, and it was awful because he ate a hamburger and just drenched it in Thousand Island dressing. That's what he attributed the farts to. I don't know if that was really what the farts were about. I remember playing Jackal while the sun came up and then thinking, fuck, I wish I had slept. And then we went on a trip somewhere and I was sleeping in the car and it was awful. Thousand Island farts, guys. Jackal was a pretty good game. You were like in a Jeep where the gun was stuck. The Jeep was based on that always north pointing chariot that they invented in ancient China. So your gun would only fire in one direction. You could fire missiles in every direction, but your gun only fired north.
Interesting.
So, yeah. It's handy that the enemy's base was always north.
Yeah. Of you. I guess if you only want to kill Eskimos.
Yeah. That was a pretty good game. There was a lot going on in that game, actually, for it being like an NES era game. Man, I wish I had Jackal on the Virtual Console instead of why can't I remember? There's like fucking 10 games.
Yeah,
there's that golf game. Well, you know what I hated was the process of downloading all of those fucking things. You had to go through so many screens after confirming it, and then they're all fucking gift wrapped on the, like, I wish you could turn
that off. You got to watch the gumdrops fall into the cube.
The glass apples. Yeah. I have enough glass apples dropped into this box for me to unwrap my present yet? Also, what the fuck happened to my medication? Like,
Did you download that, that ambassador certificate or whatever it is?
I did, not knowing what it was. What?
Well, I think all it is that you can activate it, and then it sends you the little news blips whenever the new games are available.
Oh.
But what I thought was weird that it took like twice as many gumdrops to download that as it did Metroid.
Right. Why can't I remember any of the? I played all of the games, and I can't remember any of the others of them. I didn't play Zelda 1.
Even downloaded the two Zeldas and the Metroid.
Ice Climber fucking sucked in the 80s and it sucks now. Fuck Ice Climber.
Do you actually climb ice?
No. You're jumping with a hammer and knocking a hole in the floor so that you can try to jump through the hole and fucking fail because the jumping is bullshit. Like, you have so much vertical and almost no horizontal that it is super, super difficult to land a jump going upwards because you just always miss the ledge that you're trying to jump on, and it's bullshit. And then at the top, there's like some carrots or some eggplants, but not like cool eggplants, like in Kid Icarus are a wizard that turn you into an eggplant, and then you're like, fuck.
I'm surprised they didn't bring out Kid Icarus, especially considering that they're you know, doing that, not remake, but new game in the series.
I remember really, really getting into Kid Icarus.
It is hard as hell.
It is really hard.
I never got past like the first level.
Every time I've played it since then, I've gotten to the first dungeon, and I think when I was playing this as a kid, I must have had a Nintendo Power with maps in it, because I don't understand how I would have had the patience for it. I remember, like...
It was, like, Metroid, but worse, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it had some like side-scrolling levels thrown into the mix.
Yeah, because I remember what always got me was it had those upward-scrolling levels.
Like the first level. I mean, the first level's super hard.
Yeah, that you... I mean, if... even if there was a block below you, once it scrolls off the screen, if you fall down there, you're fucked because it's now a pit.
That's pretty mean.
Oh, it was awful.
There was a lot going on in Kid Icarus, but it was very confusing. I think at the very least you needed the manual to even understand what the fuck was happening with all of the power-ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember a time when I spent the night at a buddy of mine's house in, like, I don't know, prior to junior high. Boy, did he fart a lot because he ate a hamburger covered in ranch dressing. That was what triggered it for him. But playing all the way through Kid Icarus and Simon's Quest.
Oh, wow.
Over the course of the same night.
Jeez.
Figuring out how to beat both of those and being
in a single sitting.
It was crazy.
That's
all we
nuts.
Did was fucking play Nintendo. We also played, like, on, I think this was on a different night, but we played like Gauntlet 2 on the NES all the way up to like, past the point where I realized these levels are being procedurally generated. This is never going to end.
Yeah.
We just kept playing like, when are we going to beat this? When is this going to be over? What the fuck? When is this going to be over? Never over.
Yeah.
It's like work for Daft Punk. It's never over. So yeah, what have you been playing back in your childhood? All right. Is that it, everybody?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, is there anything happening in the world?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention while I was at Dragon Con, so
everybody's kind of freaking out over the new Nintendo 3DS accessory.
Wait, what is this thing?
I hadn't even heard about this. I wasn't freaking out about it.
It's a plastic thing slightly larger than the 3DS that you set the 3DS in. It's like, you know, like the caddy that it comes with, except it's also got a second thumbstick on the right and a accompanying trigger.
Like an additional trigger?
Yeah.
So there's like R1 and there's R1.
There's like L1 and R1 and R2. Yeah. And then a second thumb circle.
Is this a Nintendo manufactured peripheral? Or, huh.
Is it because official, people were dissatisfied with the controls on the right hand side or something?
It seems to be that what's happened is Capcom wants to make the new Monster Hunter game come out on 3DS, and Monster Hunter is the giant popular franchise in Japan right now. So Capcom was like, this doesn't have enough controls for us.
Wow.
And Nintendo, I am guessing, wanting that property, said, all right, we'll do something.
I mean, you know, this is like a totally optional accessory, right? You don't have to get it.
I mean, will games require it then?
I don't know.
Why would people care about this optional accessory? And why would they be all up in arms?
It's people don't like it. I mean, it's internet nerds or
fragment.
Yeah.
Saying if it splits the development, I mean, there's games that require it and you have to have it. I mean, not that is that big of a deal, right? There were games on the N64 that required the memory upgrade, and it's like, if you don't have it, you just can't play this game.
But I mean, on the flip side, there is like wasn't there like a hard drive add-on for the PS2 or something, and there ended up being all of like two games that came out that used it because nobody was willing to
like take the risk of only being able to
sell it to
what like, was that Nintendo thing that was the robot arm that you could control?
The robot operating buddy.
Yeah, I had one of those. There were only two games, Gyromite and Stack Up.
Yep.
And the only way I ever played Gyromite was just by pretending that my left hand was the robot. Later I would learn to pretend that my left hand was a woman.
Yeah. didn't that exist because they needed some excuse to sell it in toy stores instead of computer stores or something?
Maybe. I don't know. It was cool. It seemed like a cool thing. I mean, I got the set that came with like two controllers, the gun and the robot. And, you know, the robot was just novelty. I felt like the gun was kind of just novelty too. You know, I mean, the way the platform developed. Like
the Duck Hunt.
Yeah. We were talking about somebody making the discovery, like, I think this was in a Cracked article about video game secrets or whatever, but if you plugged in a controller to the second port, you could control the ducks in Duck Hunt, which I feel like I knew that.
Nobody cared.
Yeah. I mean, that still doesn't make Duck Hunt particularly fun. There's the ski shooting secondary game, of Duck Hunt that got real hard real fast. That was pretty cool.
Did you ever play, there was some sort of game that you could play with a TV program? Like you could shoot bad guys on a TV show?
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine had that. It had some kind of IR sensor in the gun or something that reacted to pattern of light that the enemy program was ships flashing. In the cartoon that flashed. Yeah, something like that.
I don't remember what it did or what it was all like. I mean, I think the idea was that you were somehow making the program do something different by your actions, but I mean, of course, that was clearly...
Yeah. It was on a VHS tape.
No, it wasn't. It was just broadcast TV, so it was clearly not doing it, but like I think as a kid, you didn't necessarily know
that. Well, I think there was something like if you shot your gun before that pattern flashed and got it enough times, then your little dude didn't beep and explode or whatever.
Yeah, you got some sort of feedback on your end. Sure, but it just seemed like such a ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of like crazy like add-ons for games that have come out or whatever. There's this, have you heard about this Og board thing that they're trying to make?
I saw the video.
I saw it written here on the sheet of paper.
Yeah. It's like a Kickstarter project that's trying to take like two iPhones and put a board between them and then use like augmented reality to like make sort of a plain board with like sort of flat pieces on it turn into like a sort of 3D game where the pieces are moving and like doing crazy stuff.
It's sort of like they had that Eye of Judgment game for PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that sounds like this. That seems like a cool idea, but it doesn't seem like something that would be that fun.
Mm.
I mean, like, this just seemed like some sort of...
Seems very gimmicky.
Boring tactical game where you're moving monsters around on, like, a chessboard.
Well, yeah, so it's like battle chess, except you're playing with actual
chess pieces. Battle chess, except you can't look at it. You have to look through a phone.
You have to look through the tiny window to see.
I don't think... It doesn't seem like it's going to get funded.
Yeah, it was sort of the opposite of the KOL comic book where KOL comic book had like a $4,500 thing and got up to over $30,000. And this one has a $45,000 target. And after 9 days, they have like $1,300. So I feel a little bad for them, but they're,
guys,
I don't think they're
gonna there was
hope
something,
they didn't spend much money.
There's some
video.
Kickstarter I saw recently that, they wanted some similar huge amount of money, like $30,000 or something to develop this game. And one of the high tier rewards they were offering was an iPad 2 with like the sticker of like the game art on the back of it.
This is an iPad 2 with some of our concept art scratched into the screen with a compass.
Also, we don't know how technology works.
Right. The reason this is so expensive is because we've been using iPads as paper.
Diablo 3's friend and family betas.
Yeah, apparently. I guess there's no NDA, so there's videos and shit.
People just doing live streaming of them playing.
I would not watch that, I don't think. That would ruin it for me.
Did you guys get a hookup?
No.
We'd talk to some of our connections at Blizzard, but they have not yet hooked us up with the Blizzard coolnesses.
If they need someone to help test the Mac client. They know where to find me.
If they need to know, what is it like playing this game if you have a beard? They can ask you. I don't know anything about any of the rest of this stuff.
Yeah, I had a hard time at compiling like news stuff. There was like, I think we mentioned that there was like some sort of crazy like certificate authority that like got hacked, and there was like a fake Google certificate that had been issued and stuff like that.
Right.
Turns out there were 531 different certificates for like major sites like Amazon and Google and stuff. So like,
I'm going to continue to not know anything about
really
web certificates and secure HTTP.
I mean, it is the thing that has like thus far been sort of assumed to be secure and therefore safe to like transmit credit card information and stuff over the internet. And if it's just trivial to hack into, like it seems like some of these places are, then it's not so secure.
Well, but I mean, okay. So stop buying stuff online, everybody.
Yeah.
No.
A giant UPS freight truck parked in front of the office today, and I was like, uh-oh, did Riff accidentally fall asleep with his head on the buy it now thing on Amazon or something?
I mean, I think in general with the bigger ones, like if I went to Amazon and they were suddenly like, hey, what's your credit card number? I would be like, huh, and probably not type it in because Amazon knows my credit card number.
Well,
right?
Sure.
So if they didn't have that information, if I was right, but I mean, so if like the first time you ever go to Amazon, it's actually just like you're not even at a computer. You're just like in the back of some guy's van, and he's got a television that says,
I mean,
Amazon.com, and then there's a
somebody who's
fax machine where he's making a photocopy of your
somebody
credit card.
Who is smart.
Somebody snuck into your house while you were asleep and put a fake keyboard over your real keyboard. Ooh, so that when you type it in,
intrusion.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who is smart would just have their. Like, they would just be a proxy between you and the real site. They would just get the certificates. They would get, they would attach you to their site, have you put in your credentials, and then log you into the actual site, and then pipe that content back through.
Okay.
Right? Like, okay. That's the danger.
Maybe what they did was they snuck a used condom out of your trash, made a clone of you, and then had the clone type in your password.
The clone also has
an
identical credit card.
Yeah. Well, that's how it works, right? I mean, yeah, what, you think credit cards are a choice, Riff? Racist.
I mean, some people are born with silver spoons in their mouths. Some people have gold MasterCards.
iPad in dock, iCade.
Well, so there's like an Atari Arcade iPad dock that just recently came out, I guess.
Yeah, it's like the cheap version of ThinkGeek's crazy miniature
iCade thing.
Yeah.
Which is itself the cheap version of a MAME cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is itself the cheap version of Zybots.
The iCade, I think it's kinda awesome that ThinkGeek will come up with crazy ideas for April Fools. And then
like
people will be the Tauntaun sleeping bag. And so then they came up with this like ridiculous like arcade cabinet that was used in iPad, and the people thought it was so great they actually built one and sell it.
I wonder if they're starting to think about April Fool's jokes with the thought towards, is this something we could actually get manufactured if people like it?
You know, I think that's a pretty awesome idea, because then they'll just spin these crazy ideas that they would never actually normally do, and then if they get a ton of response.
April Fool's, 50 naked chicks at my house.
Yeah, so that's all I got.
Assignment Metroid. Boy, do I not have the patience I had when I was a kid.
Yep.
Pew, 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 pew. The thing that gave me the most trouble, you, Riff, had issues with the game itself. Mm-hmm. My problem was, like, these games on the 3DS are such a pain in the ass. Like, I would so much rather be playing this on an emulator on
the
my
The only
computer.
Problem you had with it was save states, though, right?
Well, yeah, so there were none. There were no save states. There was just enough of it pretending that it was saving my fucking progress from session to session that I felt comfortable not writing down the passwords. And every once in a while, I just go to run it again, and it was like, oh, here you're at the title screen. Just like,
see, I didn't have that problem, but then I never turn my 3DS off. I just close it, and it sleeps. So maybe that's...
Yeah, but you always have the cradle handy. Yeah. So if I close my 3DS... and walk away from it, I might as well be turning it off because the battery is fucking dead in like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't just plug it right in when you close it?
No, I mean, I don't. Part of it is my plugged in, my like charging space for my 3DS is not like at my bed or at the table outside where I often put it down on.
So, I mean, I played it in an emulator. I didn't play it on the 3DS. I was able to get like all the early stuff right away. Like I got the, you know, the bombs and then the ball, the bombs and the long shot like immediately. And I just remembered where those were and that wasn't a problem. And then I was like, okay, now I know I need to get like, I wanted to get some energy canisters. And so I got the freeze beam and I got some like the hidden energy canisters that I remembered where they were. And then I was like, I need the Varya suit or something. And I really want to get that spin attack, but I was like, I have no idea where this thing is. I got like 60 or 80 like missile containers and like three or four more energy containers. Like, where the fuck is all the other shit that I need? And it like, I had forgotten that if you don't get the power-ups and you sort of get deeper and deeper into the game, the enemies just like rape you to death.
Yeah.
They are so hard.
Especially because when you die, you come back with 30 fucking health, regardless of how many energy tanks you have. You
know, I don't remember ever getting pissed about that playing Zelda as much as I did playing Metroid.
It's,
right?
Well, it's like 10 times more heart containers to get in the, effectively, right? Like,
yeah, I guess that's true, because your energy goes up 5 at a time. Well, you your capacity gets to be like
You kill the bigger monsters that give you 20, but but still.
Yeah. It's still 5 minutes of standing at that bug pot to refill it, and it's like, God, no.
And like, I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just draw a map. Like, because I remember as a kid I had the Nintendo Power, so like I had a map and it wasn't a big deal. So I was like, well, maybe I'll draw a map. But it is remarkably difficult to gauge one like
how many screens, how tall one of them.
Yeah.
The tallness was actually less of a problem than the side to side. And it becomes important because of there's all kinds of loops where you go around and then you come and drop back down and stuff like that.
Right.
And with the similarity of so many rooms to each other, it's and not having the map to tell you where you've been.
I totally fell for that fucking, like, there's like an energy container and featureless hallway, and you run towards it, and then it's just a fucking, like just a bottomless pit that you fall through.
Man, there's... After I got the bombs, it's like, all right, I can finally bomb through floors. And there's like one little horizontal tunnel room where you see a guy flying around underneath the floor. It's like, oh, I bet I can bomb down there, and that lava probably isn't real. And it wasn't. There was a room down there, and that was cool. And I went back up, and here's another place just like that.
Oh, just right next door.
Go down there. Oh, it's giant, a fucking trap.
Giant floor.
I mean, theoretically, you can get back up
there. I climb back out.
Oh, my, I don't know how you did it, man.
Yeah, I had a hard time. I eventually was like, well, it's a good thing that these blocks damage you when they pop back into existence, because that allows me to commit suicide in this fucking bullshit hallway.
It's not that bad. It's only like 6 or 8, like, sequences to get out.
What I was saying last week about how nice the platforming in Gargoyle's Quest is, and how I never felt that any of my deaths were unfair, this is the counterpoint to that, because there was so much bullshit.
Like, the gameplay, I still loved. I still enjoyed it. I definitely got frustrated with getting hit by enemies when I was taking, like, 30 points of damage per hit and stuff like that, because that took so long to regenerate. But
there was one room that I tried to get through it so many times, but there's a jump that goes up onto a platform at the edge of the screen, and it doesn't scroll over and reveal the enemy that's there until you're halfway through the jump, and it's just
the freeze ray helps a lot.
It sucks that
I did get the freeze ray, but the freeze ray does like half the damage.
Well, right,
then maybe you eventually get the wave beam, which misses things.
And also doesn't let you climb stuff with the freeze ray. How does that even work in that game? Because you can't select.
You have to go back and get the freeze
ray. It resets the
item point.
Yeah. Huh. There's multiple places to get the freeze beam.
I also really missed, after playing more modern Metroids, I missed being able to crouch and shoot a fucking enemy that is crawling along the ground.
Oh, yeah. Instead of having to bomb it.
Yeah. You have to bomb it. I fucked around for a while. I was like, all right, I know the bombs are somewhere. I know I have to go up a hallway and then go left to get the bombs. But I kept believing that it was in one of the first two parallel shoots and never went over to the right until I... So I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm just going to look at a map. But the internet connection, the 3G service was super shitty at Dragon Con, because it was just like all these... Like, in these sort of urban canyons that were also completely filled with nerds with smartphones. So I could never get on that NES Maps website the map to load, but I was able to get the thumbnail of the map on Google Images to load. And so using the thumbnail of the map on Google Images, I was able to figure out where the bombs were. And then I was like, sweet, I got the bombs, got a couple missiles, got a couple energy tanks. I'm going to go explore the rest of this game. And then I fucking put the 3DS
down.
And
then you lost all your progress.
Progress goes, fuck this.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like, I'm not writing down these fucking passwords. Like, it became clear to me that the way that I was going to do this, if I was going to actually try and play through this game, was to write down the fucking passwords. And on that tiny screen, the lowercase characters that they randomly throw into the passwords are, like, nearly illegible.
Huh. Hmm.
Because they're, like, weird. It's, like...
The font is weird.
Yeah, so we're going to use the Nintendo font for some of these characters, but every once in a while, we're going to throw in what looks like a totally different colored lowercase cursive letter.
Yeah.
Which, what the fuck is that?
I didn't...
Justin Bailey my ass.
I mean, I missed having a map, but not as much as I thought I was going to. It annoyed me not having a map to tell me where I've been. I didn't at all miss not being told where I should go next. You know, I was fine with exploring.
The open-endedness.
It's just that exploring was so difficult and punitive.
Yeah, I mean, I played it maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I think I was, after sort of coming back to, like, sort of getting lost and coming back to the same place a couple times, and, like, I was like, am I in Bryn Star? Where the fuck am I? I think I would have just gotten a map and just looked at it, because I was getting kind of tired of randomly wandering around just hoping to find the power-ups that I needed.
Hmm.
You know, if I didn't know that the power-ups existed, I'm trying to think if I just started playing this game with no foreknowledge. I think I probably would have given up more. Like, I knew...
Well, you would have known that the power-ups existed because you would have read the manual that came with the game.
Okay.
Right? Sure. I mean, that's true. That was a time, you know, when we were kids and you bought a Nintendo game, like, you read the manual on the way back from the store. You know, and it was pretty small.
Because your mom was driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they were always pretty short, and you'd learn about all the power-ups and all the abilities and stuff. You know, it would, like, tell you things about the game, and then you knew things about the game.
Yeah.
You know, which...
I still had a lot of fun. I definitely feel like not having an in-game map was a detriment, though. Mm. Like, you know, I would have been totally fine if it just created one on the go. Like Castlevania?
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been fine.
That would have been perfectly good.
But,
I mean, that was a fairly late development,
I know,
right?
I mean,
Super Metroid was the first one that did that, right? And that was many years later.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Super Metroid was kind of late in the Super Nintendo's existence, wasn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, I don't know.
It was not early, but I don't know how late it was.
Yeah, I don't remember when it came out either. You know, we could look it up, but... That's a lot of work.
What do you want to do for next week?
I think we should play Bastion for next week, because okay. It's something that I'm probably going to play anyway. Riff already owns it. You can play it on the Xbox here. It does not exist for Mac, which sucks.
Yeah, so it's a PC or console game. It's on Steam for PC.
How much does it cost? Did you happen to see?
I didn't look.
I think it's like 10 or 15 bucks.
I didn't look. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm curious about it. I mean, I demoed it at Comic-Con, and it seemed pretty good, so...
Can you describe it for our listeners?
It's like a highly simplified Diablo.
Okay.
You get, like, two weapons, one on one button and one on the other, and eventually I think you get, like, you get to choose one of a number of spells, which maps to either another button or a trigger.
Okay.
And you're just running around killing dudes while a cowboy narrates what you're doing.
I've heard
sounds
that
like he
the,
has a big mustache.
I've heard that the story is actually really neat.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's got that like
it's
the
really
world
pretty.
Flies up to meet you as you walk in front of it.
Yeah, everything like reverse explodes as you walk up.
Implodes?
Well,
is there a map?
Unexplodes.
Do you have a map?
Or
is it linear enough that
you
don't need
I think it's linear. Yeah, it was pretty linear.
Is there like... So when you say it's like Diablo, there are things that a thing
like
needs
random item drops?
Be like Diablo. Does it have random loot?
It has really no loot.
Huh. There's like shit you find
there's,
shards
there's
of
some
stuff,
things,
right?
I mean, there's... Yeah, there's like quest loot. And there's
blast
like every level you're looking for a shard or a gem or something, and you find that, and then that's the end of the level. And you find
if you shart the game's
occasionally
over.
Occasionally, there's like every weapon can be upgraded several times through the use of objects specific to that weapon. So you find like this is the sharp thing, and the sharp thing can be used to upgrade your sword.
Okay.
So
can you get a leather sword?
Didn't Torchlight have something like that too? You could. It had the weapon prefixes, but then if you went all the way around through them, it went back to the beginning and just added another one, so you could end up with like a shitty awesome sword.
Huh.
I may be misremembering, but it was something like that. It was funny.
I didn't really get enough into Torchlight to. hit the limits of any of the systems.
The sequel is out or coming out?
I don't think it's out yet.
It's like soon, though, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they were trying to beat Diablo 2 to market. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how excited I would be to play Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
The levels were extremely samey. Like, I feel like I could have really gotten into the aesthetic. I liked the fact that there were guns.
I liked the dog.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But the levels were just, you know, it was like there were four tile sets, but you had to play through 10 levels or 20 levels to get to a tile set or something. And there weren't really a lot of, like, set pieces, which was, that's always the thing that I like about a roguelike or about Diablo is, like, all right, I get that this is in a random environment, and it's fine for there to be like a forest can be randomly generated, and mm-hmm. I run around, look at some trees, kill some wolves or whatever, and then maybe there's like a cave entrance placed there that's goes to a randomly generated cavern. But I want some thought put into where it places that cave entrance in that forest, right? Like, I don't want an entirely random level, right? Like, I want, like, okay, the... Like, in trying to write, like, dungeon generation algorithms and stuff, it's, like, keeping track of, like, how far are you from the entrance and, like, what level of, like, sort of challenge do you think that there was in the rooms leading up to this room, or, like, what kind of loot should you put in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also, like, in the middle of this dungeon, this room is a big cathedral. Instead of just being, like, a big room is made up of the same tiles as the small rooms, like, do something different, right? Like, have some pre-made bits that you can toss in there so that it looks like this is a place that somebody built on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, I feel like Diablo 2 did a really good job of that, because it's like, you know, all right, well, I need to go to this church, and I know that in this church there are going to be two little mini dungeons, and they're going to be in these mausoleums that are placed on either side of the church. And then, like, the environments were extremely varied in Diablo 2, which masked a lot of probably the sameness of the actual level layouts.
Something that I remembered in Dungeons of Dreadmoor was, like, just constantly hitting the same type of room over and over and again got kind of distracting.
Those little diggle nests that were like, why couldn't you have made 30 more configurations of this room?
Yeah, because it would have seemed more random and more variable, and it just was like, there were like four instead of 30, and that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, or like there was that one particular little configuration of hallway that always had the acid arrow trap down the only route into the room where the treasure chest was, and yeah, I mean you see those three lava tiles or whatever, and it's like, oh, I know where the acid trap is.
Yeah.
It is weird to me that and it's like, it's easy to say.
Yeah, it's easy to armchair.
It's easy to say that it's easy to add a bunch of content, but in a case like that, like, I really think it is easy to add a bunch of content like that. I mean,
but you know, as a designer, maybe you're so focused on other aspects of development that you're not thinking about, okay, I need to make 10 versions of every room in this dungeon.
But I mean, if I had designed Dungeons of Dreadmoor as I was playing it to see if it was fun, I would have thought, oh, here's one of those rooms with this acid arrow trap in the exact same spot.
But maybe you get to be too close to it, you know? Like, you know where all the traps are, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, right. So I guess that's the thing. Like, if you're bored with part of your game after playing it 1,000 times, it's natural to be bored with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you don't notice that you are actually bored with this on the third playthrough.
Yeah. That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
The myopia.
Yeah. It's tricky. I don't know. I mean, that I feel like is what Diablo is good at that Torchlight kind of failed at, though. And what I think, I mean, I played a build of Diablo 3 2 or 3 years ago. This was like going on 3 years ago at BlizzCon, and there was just a bunch of cool shit. There was like, we're running around in a desert, and we actually got to play way longer than the demo was supposed to last. So I really exhaustively explored this area that they had generated. And so it's just a bunch of desert stuff. And there was like, you were walking along, and then there was this dude that was like, help me, my village is under attack. And then you follow him over to this like town area there's a bunch of demons coming in, and you kill all the demons, and then it's like, hey, thanks, and he gives you some stuff. And then you find this dungeon entrance, and it's like, oh fuck, this dungeon's gonna collapse in 3 minutes, you better get what you're getting and get out before that happens. And it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, so now there's some time pressure on this. And it's like, there were just a bunch of things that were pretty clearly set pieces, you know, that really masked the fact that it was randomly generated.
Yeah.
In some cases, I don't mind that so much. Like, you know, with NetHack, it's fine that these are just a bunch of, like... Although, I kind of hate
they look really ugly.
I kind of hate the level generation in NetHack, where it's just, like, rectangles and then just, like, sort of rough, sloppy hallways leading between them. But, you know...
I mean, even NetHack had its set pieces. Like, you've always got the...
Yeah, exactly. There's vaults on some of the floors. There's the zoos. There's the,
And Vlad's tower is always in the same place and has the...
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can go down into Mine Town and it's different kind of levels for a while, and then, you know. Yeah. So that's Metroid, I guess. And is Bastion the same every time? Is there anything procedurally generated about the levels of Bastion?
I have not played it through even once, so I couldn't
say. They wasted
all
their procedural stuff on the narration. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they actually didn't record. They just recorded a guy saying every word, and then they let a sophisticated AI take over and start writing.
Abacus.
It grew a mustache. A aardvark.
A aardvark.
Hey, so that was Video Games Hot Dog. Wait. Let's skip reader mail.
Okay.
We need this to be shorter. Last week's was longer. This came out right after that, and I'm tired.
It's been a long day, and it's going to be a long weekend.
Yep. So let's say somebody wanted to get a hold of us, Kevin. How would they do that? They would give us a rating on iTunes.
Yeah, they'd come and give us a hug, I think.
Yeah. Give us a hug and whisper a question in our ear.
Well, the easiest thing to do is just to go to...
Be sure and shave first. Your whiskers tickle.
To go to videogameshotdog.com. There you
That's
can find our email address, our forums, our Twitter.
Our Stalfos.
Yeah. And if you're listening to us, you already know something about us.
All right, guys. Well, that's been Video Games Hot Dog number 20.
Woo!
We'll see you next week.
See you.
Have a great week, everybody.